If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here,
reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This is Jessica, and you're listening to the Asian Madness Podcast. Good day, all. Welcome back to the Asian Madness Podcast, where we uncover the horrors of the world with an Asian twist. Hopefully you're all doing great and getting lots of sleep and happiness in life. Even if something bad happens, I hope you're able to adjust and overcome it. What a strange way to start today's episode, huh? There's a reason. It's because I was really brought down during the course of my research on today's case. It's true that most cases I cover here are pretty grim and not exactly uplifting, though there are a few exceptions, like the case where the man from China reunites with his birth mother after being kidnapped as a child. Unfortunately, today's episode will be far from that, as not only is it brutal, it involves a child, and it's still unsolved. So, you've been warned. If you're uncomfortable with cases involving kids, this may not be the episode for you. While it's hard to research, retell, and digest, I still think these stories need to be told. Mainly, I'd say I want to raise awareness, but it's also to remember the victims and those who have been impacted by crimes like these. Living in the US, I'm constantly bombarded with sad and frustrating news, and it's pretty much a daily occurrence. Someone left a child in a hot car. Someone shot their kids. Somebody ran over a dog walker and stabbed the dog to death. Somebody abused a child until they died, or, you know, mass shootings. While I was at CrimeCon, a lady came up to me and she said that she wasn't aware that crime was a problem in Asia. I mean, I can imagine, I guess, since Asia, although huge, is generally regarded as a safe place. But again, Asia is huge, and as we already know, terrible people exist in all corners of the world. I also get that you're more likely to receive news from the country that you live in, and murders and crimes from other countries are probably less likely to get coverage, unless it was exceptionally heinous. But enough on that. I know I'm preaching to the choir. So, people have kids. That's nothing new. In most cases, parents want to protect their kids, give them a loving environment to grow up in, but of course, they also hope to give them enough independence so they can branch out and become their own person. Some people, though, are so dead set on ruining this for regular people. This is the case involving the unsolved kidnapping and murder of a 7-year-old girl from Malaysia. Her name is Nurin Jazlin. Let's begin. Nurin Jazlin binti Jazimin was born on September 11, 1999, and resided around Wang Samaju, a township located in Kuala Lumpur, the capital city of Malaysia. She lived a good life with her family, which included her parents and her 2 siblings. Despite growing up in a happy family, Nurin had battles she had to fight daily, as in she was born with a kidney disease and high blood pressure. This is definitely not ideal for anyone, let alone a child who was born with it and has to manage her sickness. But that's okay, because modern medicine is a thing and her parents, like good and caring parents, sought medical care for her early to help her live a normal life, which also meant that she had to regularly take medication to keep her health in check. So aside from the fact that she was sick, everything else in her life was pretty normal. The good kind. She went to school, she had friends, teachers liked her, she participated in activities, all the usual stuff you would expect from a child. It's difficult to imagine how a young child like her, who's probably no different from most other kids her age, ended up in such a horrific situation. Of course, by no fault of her own. Sometimes, as adults, we run into bad situations. We tend to think of ways it could have been averted. Like if thieves break into your car windows to steal your bag, in hindsight you might think, damn, I shouldn't have left my bag on the seat in plain sight. Sure, taking precaution is always good, but it never makes sense to blame the victims. People shouldn't be causing harm onto others to begin with. And this young girl, Nurin, she was only 7 years old at the time, and she did absolutely nothing wrong. So what exactly happened? In short, every parent's worst nightmare. But the day started out like any other day. No sign that things would go to shit and that lives would be destroyed forever. So a very popular kind of place in many parts of Asia, at least that I know of, is this thing called a night market. It's exactly what it means, a market that operates at night. Vendors come out to sell food, knickknacks, juice, boba, clothes, and some might even set up game stalls where you can win prizes. And visiting night markets was one of Nurin's favorite activities. On the evening of August 20th, 2007, Nurin told her parents that she really wanted to go buy a new hair clip at the night market. It probably wasn't an unusual request, as kids love to buy random accessories, and Nurin was obsessed with finding ways to style her hair, as her hair was said to be very long and wavy. Her parents, of course, said sure, and while they usually asked the older sibling to go along with her, they were unable to that night. But no matter. The night market was like just around the corner from where they lived. The neighborhood was safe, quite busy. People were friendly, and many of the vendors even knew who Nurin was. It's probably not entirely uncommon for children to go out on their own anyway, especially when it was such a short distance. So with that said, Nurin happily left home to buy a new accessory for her hair. This hair clip purchase should not have taken long. Nurin's parents were fully expecting her to return home within 30 minutes, and yet 30 minutes came and went with no sign of their daughter. Nurin's parents were feeling unsettled. Perhaps being a parent's instinct, they took it upon themselves to go out searching for her. Her father went into the night market, looked around the usual shops, asked the vendors, but no one could tell him anything helpful. Nurin's father eventually got in his car and drove around the neighborhood, hoping to find his daughter. Perhaps she got sidetracked after running into her friends, or maybe she was injured somewhere. Not the best outcome, but also not the worst. At this point, many people had heard that Nuran's parents were looking for their little girl, and many of them had also began to help out, hoping to find Nuran and bring her home to safety. Once the family had exhausted all possible methods, they had no choice but to turn to the police, and a missing persons report for Nuran was officially filed at around 3 a.m. the following day. Maybe you're wondering, why didn't the parents go straight to the police? I can't answer for them, but I can come up with a few reasons, and none of them are malicious. Though they were panicking, maybe they were simply hoping that they were overreacting, and by searching the streets, they would most likely run into their daughter. Or maybe going to the police would kind of make the situation seem too real, like a point of no return. This is me speculating, though, because in no way do I think the parents waited to report her missing for malicious reasons. Once the report was filed, the police began to do their thing. One major disadvantage, of course, was the fact that the reporting wasn't made till 7 hours after she left to go to the night market. In other words, anything could have taken place during those 7 hours. If she was injured somewhere, her injuries could become life-threatening. If she was abducted, who knows where she would have been taken to? 7 hours is a long time, and if someone tossed her into a vehicle and drove for 7 hours, they could be anywhere. According to the Child Abduction Murder Research website, out of all the missing and murdered children cases, 76% of the kids were murdered within 3 hours, and the percentage goes up to 88.5% within 24 hours. That's incredibly alarming, especially so for Nuran's situation. Although the media, the police, news agencies, all took Nuran's case seriously, some have said that despite the delay in reporting her missing, the police were also slow in taking initial action. I cannot confirm or deny this, but it's also not entirely unheard of where the 24-hour waiting period applies. I don't know if this is still a common thing, but in some places, you cannot report a person missing until 24 or 48 hours later, because at least in the case of adults, they are legally allowed to go wherever they want and not tell anybody about it. But this clearly doesn't make sense when it comes to kids. So whether or not this was a thing, I cannot be sure of. Nuran's mother also pleaded to the public, displaying pictures of Nuran, begging everyone to help her find her daughter. So moving back to the investigation, did the police manage to find anything useful? A witness did come forward, but I have seen conflicting information on who the witness was. Some say it was a neighbor, some say a cousin of Nuran's. Ultimately, it doesn't matter who it was, but this witness told the police that they did see Nuran walking towards the night market, and that there seemed to be a man tailing behind her. And as she passed a white van, another man showed up, grabbed Nuran's arm, and the two of them began to pull her into the van. This was, of course, extremely alarming. The witness even noticed that Nuran was screaming for the person to let her go and that she doesn't want to do whatever it is that they're doing to her. I know, seems odd, right? If you saw a young girl screaming like that while being grabbed by a grown-ass man, would you be concerned? The witness, who some said was also a child, did not immediately think it was a dangerous situation. They thought it must have been someone Nuran knew, perhaps another relative or a family friend who was here to take her home. This explanation could make sense, right? Sometimes we do see children throw tantrums in public spaces, and if the parents try to drag them away from a toy shop or try to console them, the child might scream, "No!" or "I don't want to go." This can attract attention, but many times we tend to assume that the child wants to stay, doesn't want to leave, so they throw a fit. Perhaps this is what the witness thought as well. I cannot blame them for their train of thought, because who expects to see a child get kidnapped like that in a busy area? Even if it does cross one's mind, it might seem so ludicrous, your mind might even tell you that you're making things up. I do hope this witness doesn't live with the guilt, though, because, really, we should be blaming whoever it was that took her. If said witness was a child and had tried to intervene, they could have also been taken in order to shut them up. Once Nurin was labeled as a kidnapped child, the investigation finally ramped up and police and civilians alike began to search in designated areas, hoping to find something, anything that could lead to Nurin's whereabouts. Whoever took her, though, probably took her far, far away or found a very good hiding spot, because despite hundreds of people assisting in the search, they all came up empty-handed. At this point, Nurin's kidnapping was making rounds all over the country, headlining newspapers and news channels. While some people would call in to provide information that they believed to be useful, some others called in simply to be assholes. Nowadays, trolls mostly live online and hide behind a username or an anonymous identity. But trolls can also exist in telephone form, probably thinking as long as their faces aren't showing, they are free to be as crappy as they want with no consequences. As if it wasn't bad enough having a kidnapped child, they also had to occasionally endure strangers telling them that they suck as parents. In the end, none of the calls provided useful or accurate information, and by this time, weeks had gone by. Was Nurin still alive? Why didn't anyone call for a ransom? At least with the ransom, there's a chance to know how she's doing and to get her back. But instead, the family was met with complete silence. As if their daughter just, poof, disappeared into thin air. If you recall, Nurin had to take daily meds in order to control her kidney disease as well as high blood pressure. Obviously, she did not have that with her when she left her home that evening. And assuming she's still alive, would she be able to make it without her medication? All that searching finally came to an end on Monday, September 17, 2007, almost a month after she was kidnapped. A store located in the city of Petalingjaya, or PJ, about a 30-minute drive from where Nurin was taken, made an unsettling discovery when the employees found a sports duffel bag dumped in front of their shop. The bag was from the brand Diadora, but it seemed to be in excellent condition. The store employee arrived that morning and assumed that the bag may have belonged to her manager. After some back and forth and questioning, the manager confirmed that it was not their bag, and no one else in the vicinity knew who it belonged to. Some people might want to find out who it belongs to and get it back to the owner, and some might want to just leave it there. You have no idea what's inside after all. But the employees wanted to find out, and they hoped that by looking inside, they could find a clue, maybe an ID of the person it belonged to. Although they weren't able to find the owner of the bag, they were able to make a horrible discovery. A body of a deceased young child, curled up in the fetal position. The employees immediately called the police, and after inspecting the body closely, it was determined that the body was that of a girl, aged somewhere between 6 and 8.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GUNDRYMD.com/energy.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
But even if the police had their suspicions, they couldn't really just call it, so they had to make the dreaded phone call to Nurin's parents. They immediately went to the hospital, where Nurin's body was transported to. But because of the injuries she had sustained, they were unable to positively identify the child. Might sound strange, as Nurin was their kid after all. There has to be something that gives it away, right? Maybe her hair, a birthmark, or like a scar or something similar. According to her parents, they did look closely, but some of the marks that they knew Nurin had were not present on that child's body. Could it actually not be Nurin? It could also be that her parents were in denial. Who wants to believe that their child died? And not just died, but most likely murdered and tortured. Because the parents and the police were unable to confirm the child's identity, the police decided that it would be best to test the body's DNA. The results came back on Thursday, and it was confirmed that the body did indeed belong to Nurin Jaslyn. While DNA testing was definitely a good idea, the way it was approached was not great. It was said that the parents had no idea that the police even submitted the DNA for testing. Therefore, they had no idea when the DNA match came out as that of Nurin. What's worse, the police failed to inform the parents as soon as the results came out, but instead, information was obtained by the press and the media. So, yeah, looks like the parents found out via the news. The police tried to do damage control and asked the parents to meet them at the station, formally, where they then officially provided them the results of the DNA testing. But what really happened to Nurin? Nurin's body and face was covered in bruises. She had lost a lot of weight, appearing to be malnourished. Her estimated time of death appeared to be only about 6 hours before she was discovered. In other words, she was kept alive for almost the entire time she was missing, and it also means she spent her 8th birthday, September 11th, in captivity. This is so sad to think about. She could have been home, celebrating with cake, presents, good food. Instead, she was kidnapped and held captive and tortured. Not only was she bruised up and naked when found in the bag, she also had a cucumber and an eggplant inserted into her, which resulted in a ruptured rectum. I know, absolutely horrifying and unimaginable. What kind of person does this? Unfortunately, this is not the first time something like this has ever happened to a child. And call me a pessimist, but I don't think this will be the last time either. It's clear at this point that Nurin was brutally assaulted, both sexually and physically. While she had no outward injury that could indicate to her cause of death, it was later determined that her death was most likely caused by bacterial infection, perhaps from her ruptured rectum. After her parents accepted her death and claimed her body, she was buried in the Muslim cemetery on September 21st, 2007. So now that her body had been recovered, the police needed to focus on the who and perhaps the why, though at this point, there could never be a good enough reason for kidnapping and killing a little kid. The police then zeroed in on the shop where her body was dropped off at. Luckily for them, there were cameras outside the shop, but as we have seen in other cases, the quality of the video was horrible. Malaysian authorities were unable to enhance the video, nor did they have the appropriate equipment, so they sought help from the FBI, as they were better equipped for these types of crimes. Despite their efforts, though, it was still impossible to get any more information from the footage. But what was in the video? The first sign of the bag appearing at the shop was captured on September 16 at around 1 p.m. A man on a motorcycle stopped in front of the shop and he was carrying a Diadora bag. He was wearing a helmet the whole time, so his face was never captured. So think about it. The bag was dropped off at around 1 p.m. on the 16th. The body was found in the morning of the 17th. It was determined that Nurin had only been deceased for approximately 6 hours. Does that mean that she was still alive when she was dropped off? In another footage, a woman appeared in front of the shop about an hour after the bag was dropped off. She wasn't doing anything, just kind of hanging around the premises. Later on, a van arrived at the shop and it showed three men in it. The woman got in and the van left. Although the license plate was captured, they were unable to enhance it enough to see what it said. Such a bummer. Around the same time the camera footage was being looked into, the police managed to detain four men and one woman, whom they believed were connected to the crime. It's interesting. Four men, one woman, almost matches up perfectly to the number of people captured on the camera. But after days of interrogating them, they were released as the police were unable to link them to the crime. They were looked into very carefully, but just because the numbers and genders matched up, it didn't really mean anything. Without concrete evidence or a confession, the police had to let them go. Aside from the four men and one woman the police interrogated, various other persons of interest were also looked into, but all of that led nowhere. One other Indonesian woman was looked into as well in early October. And as soon as she was arrested, she did an incredibly sketchy thing. She swallowed a SIM card she was carrying. Like, way to put a target on yourself. So what led the police to look into this woman, though? It was said that she had been sending incriminating messages to the police during the time Nurin was missing, saying she had her and things of that nature. Once the police found her, it turns out that she was just a meddling civilian who knew nothing about Nurin. It's like those dumb people who make prank calls to tip lines claiming to know more, when they in fact know nothing. What makes people want to interfere and cause such chaos is beyond me. Attention seekers? So that ultimately led nowhere. Despite all the reward money pulled together for any leads from the public, nothing really came from it. As you can imagine, the public had a lot to say about this terrible situation. A kidnapped child is always horrible, but couple that with the way she was found and the things that probably happened to her, people were not going to keep their anger to themselves. Nurin's story made its way throughout the country. People were in shock. Some even coined her case as one of the most horrifying crimes in recent years. And honestly, it is. I hate saying that because it's like saying other deaths and murders are less important, and we know that this is not a competition. What's worse about this case is that the police were never able to find who took Nurin, so those depraved individuals are most likely still out there somewhere, and it's likely Nurin was not the first nor the last of their victims. But the police still wanted to dig deeper, and some even began to question Nurin's parents for negligence. Is it unfathomable that her parents allowed her to leave the house alone to go to the night market? I don't know. It really depends on the culture, location, and other factors. I walked to school and back by myself when I was a first grader, but that's probably because I was in a safe environment and times were perhaps also kind of different. I don't doubt that Nurin's neighborhood was probably safe, maybe a place where people knew their neighbors and would take care of each other when needed. Her parents probably have never felt unsafe, never had anything bad happen in their neighborhood. So why wouldn't they let their kid get some independence? Most people believe that this was not a case of stalking, but more a crime of opportunity. The kidnappers were probably in the vicinity, happened to see a lone child, and decided to follow her to see if they had a chance to steal her away. And they did. Fortunately for the Jaslyn family, the police did not pursue with the negligence claim. People were not for it, as they felt it was unfair to pin this on the parents. And I tend to agree. People should just not be shitty. How could they have known this would happen? This was most likely a crime of opportunity, a stranger abduction, and as evidence suggests, Nguyen was tortured and sexually assaulted. Other theories have popped up as well, such as revenge against Nguyen's parents. While not impossible, the police were less keen on this theory. But could this have been prevented? Yes and no, because in hindsight, it's so easy to be like, that witness should have stepped in, people should have been more vigilant, her parents should not have let her out alone. Did the police follow protocol? Some say yes, some are not so sure. Perhaps her parents should have gone to the police immediately. Perhaps the police could have mobilized their forces a lot sooner. Some believe the police didn't think it was that bad. It's not impossible for a child to get distracted or go off with a friend she ran into on the streets. But because of Nguyen's case, some people have been calling for a missing child alert, similar to the one you find in the US called the Amber Alert, named after the missing and abducted child named Amber Hagerman in 1996. The Nguyen Alert was officially implemented in the year 2007 after the public campaigned for it. In a very safe environment, many people don't think about how they would react if something terrible happened to them. What is the correct procedure? How do you handle it? How can the general public assist? Being educated on such things can be helpful, because it can help you see red flags and perhaps save someone from going through what the Jaslyn family had to go through. It's easy to think like, oh, that's so far removed from me. It won't happen to me. Maybe not, but it never hurts to be careful and aware. As of today, Nguyen's case is still open and ongoing. The Malaysian police have even confirmed that they are working on investing in modernizing their technology equipment. With better equipment, it will make finding people easier. You can get results much faster, and perhaps this can help cases in the future. Another issue the general public had with this whole case was the media. We know that the media sometimes can get a little bit sensational. Some act like vultures. In a way, yes, they need to sell their articles, get views, or whatever. But it should not be done at the expense of the family, the victim, and those trying to solve the case. Photos of her deceased body had been published without permission, and the fact that they published Nguyen's positive DNA identity before the parents found out was devastating and shocking. This applies to every country, though, so not specific to Malaysia. In 2021, Nguyen's father once again asked the police to please take a deeper look into the case, especially since better technology is now available. Perhaps they would be able to find new DNA profiles. Who knows? Quote, I cannot accept losing Nguyen in such a way. For as long as the person who took her away is yet to be apprehended, I will be unable to rest. Unquote. In another statement, quote, we would have to accept it whether we wanted to or not, if my daughter was killed in a vehicle accident or drowned in a lake. My daughter's experience, however, involves a third party. It's heartbreaking. Unquote. Yes, it definitely is. So, there you have it. The stranger danger kidnapping case of a young girl who probably went through so much horror and was eventually left on the side of the road in a gym bag, as if she wasn't human. As if she wasn't someone's daughter, friend, sister. I can tell you who's not human, though. It's those kidnappers and murderers who did this to her. Cases involving kids most definitely bother us more, because we do see children as more innocent, and they're also at a disadvantage when it comes to physical size and strength. I don't think it's impossible to solve Nguyen's case and find those who did this to her, but if they are part of a larger group of pedophiles or child traffickers, it could be very difficult. I feel for her family, and I don't believe they willingly put her in this situation. I'm sure they have some form of guilt and regret, but I hope that they understand that the fault should not be on them. I will be posting Nguyen's show notes and part of the CCTV camera footage on my Instagram page just so you have a visual. And although the chances are slim, please reach out to the local police if you have any information on Nguyen's case. Hopefully, I was able to present this case respectfully. That's all I ever want to do. Please be kind. Be vigilant for yourself and others. Stay safe, friends. Till next time.
while the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.